I want you to listen very carefully as we turn again to Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to begin reading in verses 1 through 6. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Today we're going to pick up where we left off, as we're going to look again at the conversion of the Apostle Paul, and we see our subject today is the road to redemption set forth. Every individual must have a similar experience as the Apostle Paul, or that individual will never be converted. Now you say, Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? An individual today is not going to see a great light as the Apostle Paul did. But I'll tell you right now, an individual today whom God sets out to save, this is what the Lord God of heaven will do. He will call them by name. He'll stop them dead in their tracks, because every one of us, when we come out of our mother's body, we come with our face towards hell and our back towards heaven. And we live that way until the Lord God of heaven reaches down and delivers us. And what a wonderful reality it is when he does that. And so I want to ask you a question, my friend. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has this ever happened to you? Has the Lord God of heaven ever stopped you in your tracks? Because you see, every individual outside of Christ is on their road to a devil's hell. It doesn't make any difference how religious they were. The Apostle Paul was a very religious man, but at the same time, he was nothing but an unsaved religionist, and I know what he's talking about, because I've been the same place. But we found when the Apostle Paul was on his road to Damascus, he was out to do one thing. He was doing his best to do what? To destroy the work of God. And then God stopped him in his tracks. And I want to tell you right now, every one of us must have a similar experience that the Apostle Paul had on the road to Damascus. Now let me get this straight for you, if you will. Your experience and mine will be a spiritual experience. The Apostle Paul had a physical experience because it was God that talked to him by his voice, and it was God that called him by name. And we find the same thing happens to us today when the Lord God of heaven reaches down to save us. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look with me at verses 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In other words, the Apostle Paul's conversion was a pattern. So therefore, our conversion experience has got to be similar to that of the Apostle Paul. And my friend, it is, if you really have come to know the Lord God of heaven. Do you know what I'm talking about at this hour? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. Now, our lesson today will fall in five simple categories. I've entitled it, The Road to Redemption. And we find very clearly now, you listen like you've never listened before. There are five different aspects of the call of God to the individual. Now notice, if you will, in verse 3, And as he journeyed and came near to Damascus, suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now what in the world do you have here? Here we find the road to redemption set forth. Number one, it was a personal call given by the Lord God of heaven to Paul, or to Saul himself. And notice what he said. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Are you listening? When God sets out to save an individual, he does the same thing. We find it is a sovereign, personal call instituted by God to the individual. God doesn't ask you, would you like to accept Christ as is being done today? No, my friend. Before God saves us, you and I are going to desire to know Christ. We're going to hunger and thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a fulfillment of Matthew 5, where it says, Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And when our God speaks to us, He comes in a sovereign personal call. The men around Saul didn't hear it, but Saul did, and Saul knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God was talking to him. Now, how do you know? Because he said in verse 5, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, this was a sovereign personal call given by God to the Apostle Paul, and in like manner, the Lord God of heaven gives a sovereign personal call to the soul of the individual that he ever intends to save. Now, let me stop right here. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has this call of God ever come to your heart? Let me tell you, my friend, if it ever has, you've never gotten over it. You're never the same. And I'll tell you right now, you'll never be the same again, because it's a sovereign personal call. And what a reality it is. Now, we're not resting in experience. We're resting in what the Lord God of heaven has done for us. And we need to understand that. But when God sets out to save us, He does this. He gives us a sovereign personal call. Now, someone might say, "Now, preacher, can I prove that?" Well, I most certainly can. Back yonder in the Garden of Eden, the Lord God of heaven sought after Adam and Eve. And what did He say? He said, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam knew that God was calling him. And he stood in the presence of God as God called him and faced him with the reality of his own sin. And in John chapter 5 and verse 25, we find again the Word of God brings this out for our learning. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." What do we have here? Here you have also, "The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now hold your seat as I give you this truth. Every individual outside of Christ is a dead sinner. Now you listen. A dead person cannot talk. A dead person cannot hear. A dead person cannot respond. And a dead person cannot exercise his or her faith because he doesn't have any. Now why do I tell you this? Because in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, we read these words, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." And when we were dead in trespasses and sin, how in the world did we walk? I'll tell you right now, that same verse of Scripture brings it out. This is the way we walked before the Lord God of heaven. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, when in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of God, even as others." Now what do we have here? The Apostle Paul was a dead sinner on the road to Christ. He was as religious as he could be, but he did not know the Lord Jesus Christ experientially. Now, what about you, my friend? Is the Lord Jesus Christ real to your soul? Oh, how can I find out, preacher? Well, I ask you to do this. Sometime in the future, maybe after this broadcast, go to your bathroom, and if you've got a full-length mirror, you look yourself square in the eye in that mirror, and then call yourself by name and ask yourself this question: is the Lord Jesus Christ real to your soul? And see what your soul tells you. And I'll tell you right now, if there's any question of doubt, there's something wrong. Because you see, every individual who ever gets converted knows Christ, and Christ knows the individual, because we've been accepted in the Beloved. Then we find also, it was not only a sovereign personal call, but it was an alarming call. It affected the individual. Notice what it says again in Acts chapter 9, and we see it set forth for our learning. The book of Acts chapter 9, and I want you to notice with me, if you possibly can follow in your Bible. Listen to what it says. "And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now what do we have here? It was an alarming call. Are you listening? The voice of God was made real to the Apostle Paul, and is still true today. Adam heard the voice of the Lord God of heaven. The Apostle Paul heard the voice of the Lord God of heaven. Your speaker heard the voice of the Lord God of heaven. And every individual that's ever been converted has heard the voice of the Lord God of heaven. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. And we find this is set forth in the book of John very clearly, and from Genesis to Revelation, as you trace through how God saves a sinner, you can find it over and over and over again. Little Samuel, even as a young lad, he heard the voice of the Lord God calling to him. He called Samuel 5 times, which is a number of grace, called him by name, and Samuel knew it. And my friend, if God has ever called you by name, I'm going to tell you right now, you know it. Because it's what? It's a sovereign, personal call, but then it's an alarming call affecting the individual. We find very clearly if the voice of God is made real to the person, and then it reaches the deepest, innermost recesses of your soul. Again, in Acts chapter 9, these words. Then he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now hold your seat. The Apostle Paul was not converted here in this portion of the Word of God. He was awakened by God the Holy Spirit, and a startling revelation was given to him because it was an alarming call that God gave to him, and he not only called him by name, but we find also that when the voice of God was made real to him, it reached us the deepest recesses of the innermost soul of the Apostle Paul. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has God ever called you? Now, this is what happened. Listen carefully. The fear of God fell on the Apostle Paul. Up until this time, he did not fear God. He was arrogant. He was self-righteous. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was convinced that he was right and everybody else was wrong. And I'll tell you right now, when God stopped him, he gave him that sovereign personal call. He gave him also an alarming call because it affected the deepest recesses of the Apostle Paul, got right down into the innermost part of his soul. And then we find also it was not only that, it was a humbling call. Notice carefully, the Apostle Paul said these words, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. As I said before, he was not converted on a Damascus road. He was awakened on a Damascus road. And I'll tell you right now, it was a sovereign call. It was an alarming call. It was a humbling call. Because, you see, the fear of God gripped the heart of the Apostle Paul. And what happened to him happens to every individual whom God ever calls unto salvation. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? The problem we have in our churches at this present hour is this. There's no fear of God. People come into the church, and I'll tell you right now, they come dressed in any way they want to come. Half of them got to bring something with them to drink, and they'll sit there and drink and chew, and most of the time, they don't even listen to what's being said. But they're there because, I might say, a sense of duty, or else just an obligation as they feel, or else perhaps they're trying to please somebody. But I'll tell you right now, the vast majority of them do not know what it means for the Lord God of heaven to give them that personal, alarming, humbling call. When he does, I'll tell you right now, the fear of God grips the heart of the individual. And always remember, it's the fear of God which is the beginning of wisdom. Coupled with this, this was not only an humbling call, it was also a most gracious call. Now, why did God call the Apostle Paul? Well, I'll tell you. He called him for the purpose of saving him. Now you say, Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, we find in Acts chapter 9 again, the Lord God of heaven called Ananias. And he said, Ananias, he said, I want you to go meet a man by the name of Paul. And Ananias said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Now notice what God said. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now what do you have here? Here you have the call of God with regard to the Apostle Paul. A most gracious call. His purpose was to save the Apostle Paul and make him God's servant. And that's exactly what he does when he sets out to save a sinner today. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, my friend today, has God ever called you? I hope and pray, because you have here the plan of God in each one's redemption. Because the Lord Jesus has come, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then we find also in the Apostle Paul, with regard to the Lord said to Ananias, he said, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see, here was the purpose of God, not only to save the Apostle Paul, but also to use him for the glory of the Lord God of heaven. And are you listening? That's the reason God saves a sinner like you and me. God saves us to do what? To glorify him. Because you see, we are saved to the praise of the glory of God's grace. Now you know what I'm talking about. Oh, I hope and pray that you do. Then we find also, listen carefully, when this call comes forth, it's not only a humbling call, but I'll tell you something else. It's the plan of God for redemption, and I'll tell you it results in this. It causes each one to sue for mercy. Now, how do you know the Apostle Paul sued for mercy? Acts chapter 9 and verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. The Apostle Paul prayed 3 days and three nights. He didn't eat anything at all. And we find very clearly in verse 9, he was 3 days without sight and neither did eat nor drink. Now how come? Because I'll tell you right now, the Apostle Paul was suing for mercy at that time. Now this is what takes place when the Lord God of heaven sets out to save a sinner. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? My time is about gone, but I want to say to you very kindly, your salvation experience has got to correspond with that similar to the Apostle Paul, or else our experience is wrong. My hope that something has been said that the Lord will use and stir your heart. If you're not saved, he'll call you right now, call you by name, and give you that effectual call, and then bringing you unto himself in salvation. Until we meet again, this is Pastor North here saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.